Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of HUD's Trend Hawk. That is from the Discord, courtesy of...
Oh, courtesy of... Kevbot.
Kevbot. Shout out to Kevbot for the short show title from my favorite genre of films as a 12-year-old, Bruce Willis movies.
What's Hudson Hawk about, though?
Hudson Hawk is about Bruce Willis as a cat burglar who times his various exploits. His homie partner in crime from way back is Danny Aiello. They're like a duo of cat burglars, and like they time their operations by singing old standards. So they'll be like going through a building that they're trying to sneak through, but like singing to themselves, because it is, I think, the peak of Bruce Willis at his most, you know, like powerful and like able to do whatever he wants.
Wait, so this movie shitty or is good?
No, it's bad. Like, it's famously bad, but I deeply enjoyed it when I was a young person. Yeah.
All right. Put it on the list.
All right. Well, I am Jack. That is Miles. It is dark days. Roe has been overturned by the Supreme Court. And yeah, so that is mainly what people are talking about. Looks like protests is trending. Oh, no, I mean, Dick's Sporting Goods is trending because apparently we got to find a pro corporate spin on this. So let's go with, here are the corporations who will pay their employees to travel to get an abortion. So that's one way to take it.
Big up to this place that, probably it's shit. It's definitely better than the alternative.
Yeah.
But yeah, low bar for a corporation to treat people like humans. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, like, just everything that's trending is around people's outrage, about people blaming Susan Sarandon, about people blaming Burn. Like, there's all kinds of...
Oh, really?
Oh, my goodness. The crossfire on Big D Twitter and left Twitter. Woo!
Cool.
You know, a lot of people are pointing out, they're like, Nancy Pelosi was just spending, like, burning her wheels, spinning her wheels, defending Henry Cuellar in Texas, who barely won his primary by, like, around 300 votes. And he's a, you know... pro-forced birth Democrat. Yeah. And we're like, what about in the party that's there right now? What is happening there? But I mean, I'm curious what the real response is going to be from Democrats, because, you know, based on my math, they had about a month and 20 days to figure out what the plan is here.
Nancy Pelosi had that poem on deck. Joe Manchin is, what did he say? He was disturbed. I think
no, her, him and like Susan Collins was like, well, that's not what they told me. It's like, no shit.
Right. That's the point.
And you're such a fucking rube that you're like, yep, hook, line, and sinker. Got it. Right. Sure. They said it was settled. One of the first fucking things they went after. And I don't know. It's just really fucking bleak looking at just everything that's happening with the Supreme Court saying like, well, states don't have the right to assert like any kind of gun control laws or anything like that. That's not their right. But then also, but the states can decide who can do what with their own body.
Right.
It's just a very, very that and like the Miranda rights being like basically rolled backward. They're like, police have total immunity, even if they don't inform you of your rights and then use that to possibly
public get funding you to incriminate yourself. Religious schools to gut funding for public schools.
Yeah,
we're like they straight up, you know, as lame and outdated as the reference to that Hulu show is, like Handmaid's Tale, like that truly feels like they're just like, yeah, no, but that is kind of what we had in mind.
It's just fucking upsetting because, you know, like the people that you got people like Nancy Pelosi who read a poem, right? Because nobody in Nancy Pelosi's family is going to have trouble getting access to an abortion.
Yeah.
What about all the people that are struggling with their income, that are like people of color? There's so like this really affects a very specific group of people. Unfortunately, the representation in Congress is of people who know not about the urgency of this threat.
And those people basically don't exist for them.
Yeah, it breaks my fucking spirit. Like it's Anyway, so
one kind of specific story that's people are pointing out is the period tracker apps, period tracking apps, like the data collected in those apps could potentially be weaponized by law enforcement and used.
That's never happened. Has law enforcement ever weaponized your data to hold you accountable for your getting an abortion?
Yeah, they actually have. Amazingly.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, it's already. So a woman in Indiana was sentenced to 20 years in prison for inducing her own abortion. The evidence against her included text messages with her friend, which, you know, they have to get access to, which, you know, you would think would be a private thing. In 2018, a woman was indicted by a Mississippi grand jury for second degree murder in a case in which prosecutors used her search history, including searches for abortion pills, as evidence. Lawmakers have been lobbying to make sure tech companies like Google amend their data collection policies in order to better protect people's information in a post-Roe era. But, you know, it's not something that's going to be well covered by the corporate media. And yeah, it's just, this is like the dark world that we live in now. It's not hypothetical.
And now they're
anymore.
Fully being like, oh yeah, we'll come after contraception. We'll come after fucking everything. Like,
yeah,
we don't,
Thomas.
this is what we're about. And yeah, Anna in the chat is saying, you know, don't even tell your doctor when your last period was.
Right.
Like, cause you know, this is the situation we're in where you can't even now you're looking at you're looking at your life and saying, I can't go to a healthcare professional and be honest about what is happening in my body because they might be collaborating with law enforcement because I'm in a state that's trying to go after people and they might just create a dragnet to find people they suspect of having an abortion.
Yeah. And with regards to the tech industry, like there's good reason to be skeptical that they will ever change their practices to better protect people since Google is already like hugely fucking up in this area. There's a recent study that found 1 in 10 Google searches for abortion services in trigger states are being misdirected to clinics known as pregnancy crisis centers.
Yeah.
That do not actually provide care and actually, you know, provide religious extremism. 37% of Google Maps searches led to fake clinics, which is pretty, that's a lot.
Yeah, it sounds like Google is trash, just even as a search engine, like not even for what they're doing. But it's wild to just watch how the full court press of corporations, the government, and all these things can suddenly put you in a place where before it's like, yeah, well, you know, we'll sell your information to like another company is trying to figure out if you might be in the market for 18-inch rims.
Right.
But now, you know, based on how some of these laws can be written, someone might be like, oh, with this information, I might be able to be a like an abortion bounty hunter.
Yeah.
And
like there in other countries, there are groups that have power that are looking out for consumers and individuals. And that just isn't the case, or at least it's not functionally the case in the US, because so much of the power and decision making is tied up in by, you know, billionaires and corporations.
Yeah, we'll also put a link to like a sort of a guide to different like local, like state abortion access funds and things like that to donate to. I mean, if you know, Planned Parenthood is very well funded, as many people have pointed out, and there are much like many more local organizations to help support abortion access, like not just here, but also like Guam and Puerto Rico as well.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh, my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And, of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
And we're back. And so monkeypox is continuing to be a story and actually, you know, a problem in communities in now the U.S. It is not a global pandemic the way that people were reporting or fearing it would be at first. But it is affecting gay and bisexual men. And the CDC is telling people to just go with abstinence.
Yeah. It's really wild. Like, this is in a period where people, like, it's pride. People are yearning for human, like, contact, connection. And they're like, hey, man, just fucking don't really, you know, just don't have sex. How about that? And it's like really, I don't know, like we're looking at, again, most people are saying we have a smallpox vaccine that's about 85% effective, would be really fantastic for anybody who is could be exposed to monkeypox. And there's a way to roll this out. But we've seen anecdotally, like in New York, they said, hey, if you had multiple sexual partners, we're having a clinic for you to get a smallpox vaccine. That shit filled up so quick and they ran out of doses that now people are like, we need a lot more doses of this vaccine. And it just feels like another moment where, you know, it's easy to just ignore the like an outbreak of a disease or virus because it's in like a marginal community and just, you know, let's just keep that moving. But yeah, it is another it's a pretty severe issue that we're dealing with. And right now the World Health Organization is trying to determine if they do declare that this a global health emergency just to increase the awareness around this.
Yeah. Living wage is trending. Stacey Abrams has been tweeting out some very questionable shit, specifically saying we need to pay police a living wage, which is, I don't know. That seems like not the problem. She didn't tweet this like this morning, but she tweeted it in the past couple days, and it's does not seem like the issue that needs to be addressed right now police. In the United States.
The tweet: law enforcement are often paid less than a living wage, and that is wrong. We must raise pay for officers and address violent crime as we work to build community trust and foster law enforcement accountability.
Right.
Wow, that's big. I'm running for governor energy. You suddenly just almost scratched my damn head off. I'm like, well, hold on. Police a living wage? This is a six-figure income.
Yeah.
Police make more money than fucking most of us do. Like in LA, which is wild. In response to that tweet, a lot of people were quote tweeting it with like the police officers that had like, you know, like assaulted them, like by shooting them with a beanbag gun or beating them up or something. And then listing like, and this person makes $245,000 a year.
Right. Yeah. This seems like it was a tweet written by the police union. Like that was just, you know, part of the trading that happens with like, you know,
you get to a certain level, you can't be out here talking like ACAB, vote for me for governor.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like there's clearly that line and we're starting to see it when you're people have like tried to comb through the tweets and be like, is this the first time you even use the word living wage? And wow. It's in relation to the police.
Yeah.
I don't know. How like,
well, I knocked
true
that one
is.
Out. I'm killing two birds with one stone. I'm talking about a living wage and I'm, you know,
and you know, Blue Lives Matter. Anyway, throw it in the boot. You can't be surprised by anybody running for like, you know, office that high, especially in like not a blue state, because even blue state candidates aren't out here saying shit like,
yeah,
you know, if anything, they do like we honor our law enforcement people or whatever.
Yeah. But this is the party line of the, you know, Biden administration that we need to like fund both things. And it's like, well, one of the things is sabotaging our ability to have a equal society where people don't live in fear of violence. And like that isn't actively sabotaging like communities and families. So funding that is actually not, you can't fund both things because one of those things is dismantling like social services and like the goals that we're trying to accomplish with the social services.
And one thing is proven to do fuck all.
Right.
Like over and over again. You need a study? Yeah. I think we've had we got
the studies.
About 100 years worth of data that says, I don't think the police keep people safe.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the next conversation. But again, oh man, overcoming the status quo here in this country takes a lot of people.
Yep. And finally, we had a outing with some of the LA podcast studio to go see Elvis last night. Yep. The new Baz Luhrmann movie. The main takeaway for me is how weird Tom Hanks's character is. It's very, very strange.
The movie. Look, you've heard us talk about like that one clip, right? And that was enough to be like, we got to see this bullshit because it seems so over the top.
The clip in question is his first performance where he starts like making people's brains melt by flicking his penis in their direction. And the sound effect is wow, wow, while he's just like slamming his penis in their direction. It's actually better in the movie and like, super producer Anna pointed out, the word is thrusting. He is thrusting his penis. He's not flicking it. But I don't know.
Clearly you're more of a flicker and not a thruster.
More of a flicker, clearly. Quit flicking that thing. Elvis don't flick. He thrusts.
He thrusts. He's horny. And I think the best performances in that scene came from like the actors who were playing the like about to lose my shit women in the audience. Because some of the screams. There was even one
where a guy like falls back and starts having a seizure. It was interesting.
Like one of the screams that the women made when he like was, you know, fucking wiggling his shit her way, it's like the Toni Collette meme of her screaming.
Yeah.
Like that level of like energy was in it. I was like, damn, like give these people a fucking award. Like I could feel the hysteria take over the people who had gotten a taste of forbidden fruit or whatever. However, Tom Hanks is weird Werner Herzog.
He talks like Werner Herzog. He's supposed to be a con man who's pretending he's from West Virginia.
But I think this is where Luhrmann takes liberties, right? And he's trying to say this guy was so sloppy. Like he's like, we see through his shit or something. I don't know if that's the subtext of having that choice.
Because he's like a bad guy all the way through, just keeps doing bad things. No real arc, accent choice. Like he has a thick accent. And at one point a politician investigates him and is like, and we've discovered you're not from West Virginia. And he's like, oh no, they found out. And it's like West Virginia. He sounds like he's like from Germany or like Sweden, or I guess he's from the Netherlands, but like you go watch an interview. Like after you watch the movie, go watch an interview with the guy. And he talks like a, like with no accent at all. Very, very baffling stuff from Tom Hanks. They keep manufacturing stuffy old white guys to like harumph in the background of his performances. So at first it's like true, like people being like, this, my daughter is out of control. Like we must not allow this. But like at a certain point, they like start making up these stories where like he's supposed to be like selling fucking sweaters, and like the guy's like, I just want him to like play an acoustic guitar and a sweater and sing Here Comes Santa Claus, and then he like performs his hits and everyone's like, oh, and it, like they just have to keep leather. Like making up these people. Like that's the only gear that the movie has.
This is also made for people who have no idea what cultural appropriation is.
Yes,
I'll say that, because famously like Elvis Presley was doing black music.
Yes,
and that was like the thing there. And they mentioned that thing. It's like, man, when I have these Negroes on my records, nobody buys them until I got this white boy singing the Negro songs. And now everybody likes it. Even the Negroes, as they say that line over and over and shit.
Mm-hmm.
There's this scene, right, where they show young Elvis, like going to like a revival church, like in a tent and shit. And people are, you know, they're singing and they're worshiping, and he goes in and suddenly he catches the fucking spirit. And like, it's meant to be this like very transformative scene, like fucking Avatar or some shit.
Yeah.
Like he became Avatar in that moment because he was exalted by the ethnic people to carry on the mantle of their cultural contributions or some shit. And like, that's how they sort of present his intersection with black culture. And I was like, this is very inaccurate.
Right. Yeah.
And Priscilla, too. That was interesting, too.
Priscilla, who is 14 when they meet, they're like a pretty young teenager. Like they don't say a fucking child.
Right.
They make him seem like they make it seem like he and B.B. King were close friends, and like in fact they like met one time. There's right. a scene where he sees Little Richard perform and he's like, man, that guy should be more famous than me. And B.B. King's like, there's no way because you're white, and like that's what people like about like, you.
You can then, sing that song.
Right. And then and they do money. Nothing with that. There's nothing. They do absolutely nothing. Did you notice the Pepsi versus Coke thing? Actually, so Miles, full transparency, you had to leave early.
I left with about 40 minutes to go, I think, because it is about 2.5 hours.
So it's taking place in the South. They keep, like, Pepsi keeps coming up. He keeps drinking Pepsi. At one point, he's, like, nervous, and they're like, here, drink this Pepsi. It'll make your stomach, calm your stomach. And the whole time, I'm like, oh, well, it must be, like, a thing where, like, they just sold the rights to Pepsi and like it was really Coke because it's the South and like it's the 50s. Yeah. Like, so Pepsi, when he's young and like doing well at the end of his life, like the only time that we see Elvis in a fat suit performing and he looks like he's dead, like he has to be like carried around, he has like paper cups of Coke on the piano. I was like, Okay.
That's, so you were seeing some brand war shit.
I'm seeing some brand war shit for sure.
All right. I didn't get to that part, but
there's some of the fun, like weirdness, like he mouth kisses his fans in Vegas. Like after his Vegas shows, he full on like kisses his fans on the mouth, like repeatedly, like every one of them, like passionate, deep kisses. But like, there's stuff that like his, Memphis Mafia stuff, like his crew that he traveled around with that like just, you know, gassed him up and let him believe whatever was going on in his head. Like he just kind of stays this like sweet, naive, like person. They don't really like, he was a drug addled maniac. Like they don't have the Nixon meeting. Do you know the story of the Nixon?
Oh yeah.
I'm sure I've told it like a dozen. He showed up high out of his mind in a cape with a gold handgun to give to the president, at the White House, showed up and asked Nixon to make him the America's drug czar, which wasn't a thing, but he was like, I'll drop the dime on like the Beatles and all these hippies who do illegal drugs. I only do drugs that are prescribed to me by like the doctor friend who just enables my drug addiction.
Right.
But like his life got a lot weirder and in the hands of a different filmmaker, I feel like it would.
Oh yeah. It's a fucking fever dream.
It is a fever dream.
You know, I don't know. Would I say, should you go out and spend your hard-earned money to go see it? That's up to you. But I will say, if you don't mind watching something that could make your eyes roll completely back into your head, and it's kind of fun because it's so bad, I guess. But
yeah.
Buyer beware.
Like the performance by Austin, whatever, like is pretty good. Like it's the most of any Elvis content I've ever like consumed in a given moment. And I like came away being like, all right, I get why people.
It's a lighter data set.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, that is Elvis. It's worth seeing if you're not expecting like a traditionally good time. I was both enjoying myself and also ready for it to be over about halfway through.
Yeah.
So yeah. Well, those are the things that are trending on this Friday afternoon. We are back on Monday with a whole ass episode of the show. Until then, be kind to each other. Be kind to yourselves.
Yep.
You know, go find out what protests are happening near you. Find out mutual aid networks. You know, support each other because the fucking government and the corporate media are not going to do it for you. Don't do nothing about white supremacy, and we will talk to y'all on Monday. Bye.
Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get.
But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.